sister, he explains that you're tired of yourself and all of your creations. Won't you come see me, Queen Jade?
Good morning, Davis. You're listening to KDRT 95.7 FM. Today, I'm Sasha, and here with me I have Alyssa.
This is Leah.
And this is Shane.
We're going to be discussing music today and how it contributes to our lifestyle. Many of our life experiences are informed and defined by a smell, a taste, or a sound. The soundscape of our lives can contribute to how or what we feel. This week, we asked a few students on campus what song has taught them a lesson or defined a certain time in their life. Some answered with a song that makes them nostalgic or has contributed to a memory of theirs. So now, we're going to share these songs and what the folks we interviewed think about them, as well as discussing how music has defined a moment in our own lives.
And one song that's felt very transformative in my life is Self Control by Frank Ocean. And this song like really resonated with me because it helped me like get through times of situations which you like can't control yourself, and like learning that there's some situations you can control and learning to overcome the ones that you cannot.
Poolside convo about your summer last night. Oh, yeah. About your summer last night.
Didn't give you no play. Could I make it shy last night? Could I make it shy on the last night?
Last night.
Could we make it in? Do we have time?
I'll be the boyfriend in your wet dreams tonight. Noses on a rail at your feet.
What did you guys think of that?
I liked it. I think that's a really good song. I think Frank Ocean has a lot of great songs, so that was definitely a good song that he picked.
I got chastised for not knowing Frank Ocean in a previous class, so.
I was there for that. All right, I think we should move on to our next interview.
My song would be Ribs by Lorde, because I feel like whenever I get scared of, you know, getting older, I listen to it a lot and I really resonate with it, but I found that I can listen to it like any year and I'll still resonate with it just as hard. Like, I will listen to it now that I'm a junior in college and still feel the same things that I felt when I was listening to it in high school.
Drink you spilled all over me. Lovers spit. Don't repeat. My mom and dad let me stay home. It drives you crazy getting old.
What were you guys' thoughts on that song?
Lorde is such a throwback for me. I just love listening to her.
No, same. That's how I felt during high school. Anyways.
I feel like it creates a sense of nostalgia, and there's just something about Lorde's voice that's, it just makes you feel something. I don't know, I love that woman.
Yeah, it definitely reminds me of high school for sure, and listening to like Royals, Tennis
right?
Court.
Mm-hmm.
I love all
yes.
those songs, so this is a good song. I like it a lot.
I think a lot about, she did a song for The Hunger Games.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I forget what it's called.
No,
it's
me
good.
Too. Yellow
really
Flicker
good.
Beat. Yellow
yes.
Flicker Beat.
Yes.
So
it's
good.
It's a good song.
All right. We're going to move on to our next interview.
I grew up speaking Spanish. So a lot of like Spanish like lullabies. So I would say the equivalent of like, I would say Itsy Bitsy Spider, but in Spanish. I would say that that had like a very big impact on me growing up, just because it has a lot of sentimental value. And I feel like in a weird way, it kind of sparked me to become more creative and like more imaginative.
That's awesome. I love how music can, like, remind us of our childhood, songs that we used to sing with our parents growing up. So I really like that she picked that song. I think it's different than what we've heard so far.
Totally. This song, when I was a kid, it made me afraid to, like, play in my backyard around the gutters, because I was afraid that the itsy bitsy spider would, like, come down and, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of us are scared of spiders, so...
I feel like it's so nice to hear childhood songs in other languages. Like, seeing all the childhood songs in Squid Games really made me laugh.
True, true. I do agree with that.
All right, we're going to move on to our last interview before we share our own songs.
I guess Freaking Out the Neighborhood by Mac DeMarco, because it's just, I guess, the story behind it, and I kind of resemble it, too. Because I guess, you know, I'm not such a good person, and my parents see that, so it's kind of like an apology as well.
That song. What are your guys' thoughts?
I'm a big Mac DeMarco fan. I don't know. I think that he just never misses, and that song is definitely not a miss.
I'm going to have to start writing down names to start listening to some people's music that I haven't been listening to.
I feel like we should change the name of our segment to Culturing Shane.
Yeah. Introducing Shane to new songs.
And speaking of new songs, should we start with your song, Leah?
Yeah, so the song I have today is called The Distance. It's by Cake. It reminds me just of growing up. I used to listen to this song with my dad all the time. I know all the words. I even knew how to play it on the drums at one point. So it's very nostalgic for me. Really great song. So here we go.
Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom.
What are you guys' thoughts on that one?
You said this was a early life song of yours?
Yeah, it's a song I used to listen to with my dad all the time. So it just kind of reminds me of him, reminds me of my childhood growing up listening to that. So, yeah, I like it a lot.
That's really nice. How young do you think you were when you first remember hearing the song?
Oh, probably maybe 7 or 8. 9, I'm not sure, but I've listened to it my whole life, so it still hits the same to this day when I play it.
I love that. I feel the same way about the song I'm about to share, which is Age of Consent by New Order. It was a little difficult to choose one song because I'm always listening to music, but I chose this one because it defined the summer before I started school here. I vividly remember going to a concert where my friends were performing at the Lodge in Echo Park, and it was just before I turned 18, like probably a week or so, And the moment I heard my friend's band do a cover of Age of Consent, I just like felt this crazy wave of nostalgia and excitement. And I was about to live away from my parents for the first time and out of a city. So yeah, and I still listen to it to this day. So I'm excited to share it. What are your guys' thoughts on that one?
It was really upbeat, and I'm really glad because I need something like that in the morning.
Yeah, I like that song a lot. It's a song, I've heard that song, never knew the name of it, so I really enjoy it. It was a good pick.
Yeah, same here. I feel like that song was really nice.
Awesome, I'm excited because it's my favorite. All right, we're going to pass this over to Shane. Shane, what do you have for us today?
I brought Dynamite by Teo Cruz.
Classic.
This is from my childhood, from a fourth grade talent show by my friends, which is why I remember it so well. I came to dance, 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 dance. I hit the floor cause that's my plans, 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 plans. I'm wearing all my favorite brands, 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 brands. Give me some space for both my hands.
Oh, what a classic.
Yeah, this song reminds me of the sixth grade formal, winter formal dance. Everybody danced to the song in the school gym. Very nostalgic for sure.
I fear the only thing I hear when I hear that song is the Minecraft parody, but I love it regardless.
All right, next, Alyssa is going to share her song with us, and then I think we're going to close out for the day and welcome the next group.
This song is In My Dreams by the K-pop group Red Velvet. I just love this song so much. So here we go.
All right. Thank you, Alyssa. I love that song. So good.
Yeah, it's just a song for, you know, when I feel really delusional. It's like a pretty delusional feeling.
Awesome. We're going to transition here into the next group. And they're going to be talking about arts and culture. Stand behind me when the game got rough. The joke was on me, there was nobody even there to bluff. I'm going back to New York City, I do believe I've had enough.
Good morning. You're listening to KDRT 95.7, Davis, California. We're the Radio Rebels, and this week we were challenged with the art and culture, and we chose to go to Red 88, a local restaurant in Davis, California.
Yeah, so we went to Red 88, our group, and we did a restaurant kind of review and just interviewed one of the managers there to get some information about the restaurant, what they serve, and just the general like feel. We have an audio here of an interview with one of the managers, and we're going to play it for you guys.
Hi, we're here at Red 88, and please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Nikhil.
And what do you do
here? I'm the office administrator, and I also help out in the front of house.
All right, thank you so much for talking with us.
So our first question is, how long have you guys been open right here?
Red 88 opened in 2009, so Red 88's been in the downtown area for almost 15 years now, just over 15 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
Now,
sorry about that. We're having some technical difficulties. We will get that started in just a moment.
And the only sound that's left after.
And we are back.
Now, we're pretty busy, and it's just, you can never tell, but usually Fridays and Saturdays, just like in the restaurant industry, is our busiest days, but we stay consistently busy.
And what do you recommend from the menu?
Besides that big plate of potstickers that's right in front of you for our Tuesday special, I personally like the Red 88 fried rice with Asian sausage, and I get that medium spicy. The Asian sausage is a sweeter sausage. It goes really, really well with the fried rice. I also personally like the spicy pork ribs. Grilled marinated pork ribs on a bed of garlic rice, and then there's a new chicken sandwich, which is really, really good. I get that with the garlic gochujang sauce on there, and it's really, really good.
Oh, I'm hungry right now. What's the general demographic of the people that come there?
Being a college town, you know, naturally the city is half students, so we do get a lot of students, but as you can see, there's everyone, you know, from all age groups here. So we get everyone from college students to middle aged to the older crowd. We do a lot of catering as well, which you get from all different demographics, from UC Davis campus to offsite offices.
And can you tell us about the daily specials?
Yeah. So on Tuesday, right here, while we're talking, this is the Tuesday 50-cent pot stickers. On Wednesday, there is the 2 for $15. So that is a select food item and a select drink, and that's going to start at $15. We can upgrade to alcohol as well for a couple dollars extra, so you can get a nice plate of, I believe it's fried rice. And then, let's see what, we did change this up just a couple weeks ago. It was right here. There we go. Yeah. So you can get the Hot Lips, which is a very popular cocktail, and a fried rice for $17. You can get a nice big plate of fries and the ABG, which is a really popular drink. And so those are some of the specials on Wednesdays. On Thursday, it's our FML. That's our signature cocktail. Vodka, gin, tequila, triple sec, tropical juices, topped with 151. That's what we're known for, the home of the FML. We're also part of the Trinity. Friday is our candy shooters. That is, we call it the candy shop. That is some fun candy cocktails from your childhood. So like white gummy bear, blue otter pop. Saturday is our bomb night. We have like the Jaeger bomb, Vegas bomb, soju bomb as well, mango bomb. That's where you just drop that alcohol and Red Bull. And then Sunday, it's more of a wind down, you know, get a good start to your next week. So we have discounted beer pitchers and our cocktail pitchers as well. So it's great for a group of friends to come out, you know, whether you're hungover still or, you know, you just want to get a start to your upcoming week.
And last question, what makes your restaurant stand out from the others here at Davis?
So Chef Nat, the owner, she's been restaurateuring for over 2 decades. She has a lot of culinary experience. She's traveled the world. Her sister, New, graduated from UC Davis with a bachelor's degree in managerial economics. So they have a good foundation, along with Mama, their mom, who taught them the ropes of the restaurant industry from a young age. So while they're going to school, after school, they would come help her mom out at the restaurant. What makes us stand out is our Asian fusion cuisine, which you won't find pretty much anywhere else in Davis, really. As you can see, our menu is very diverse. It has burgers, we have ribs, we have our soups, we have our fried rices. We have influence from all around the world for our cuisine, and that's what Chef Net and Red 88 bring to the table and to the plate right in front of you.
All right, thank you so much for your time. Have a good rest of your night.
Thank you.
Wow, that was a lot of different types of food and drinks. I wasn't able to go with my group this week, but I was able to help out with our interview editing. So I thought I would ask you guys some questions, like, what was your favorite plate? If you guys got any drinks, which one was your favorite? Because I'm trying to go.
Yeah, so I went with Mads, and we both got the 20-piece pot stickers, and they're like 50 cents each. And I think that she got fried rice. I don't remember like what she bought exactly, but I got the spicy udon noodles, and they're really good. We didn't get any drinks, but I do really like their noodles a lot. They're just really flavorful and a little bit spicy. Usually I can handle some spice, but it was pretty spicy, and I think that's like a good thing because it's called spicy udon noodles. But yeah, that's what I got, and this is my second time going here. I definitely plan to go again in the future, but I think it was Mad's first time, and I think she really enjoyed it.
Awesome, awesome. Well, sadly, we don't have Mads here today, but we do have Jeremy, who would like to share possibly his favorite plate.
Yes, my favorite plate is the fried rice. It is pretty impressive. Like this restaurant is not only delicious, but it have the food around the world, like hamburger, fried rice, and also noodles. It is very nice.
Cool, cool. Yeah, was it expensive at all, or was it a good, fair price for the quality that you guys were getting?
I think it was a fair price. I think what I got was around $12, and it was a pretty large amount. When I was last there, I had leftovers, but this time I like just ate everything up. I think I was like really hungry, so I was really looking forward to going to this restaurant.
So I wanted to ask, I heard that they have a loaded fries there. Were you guys able to like see it or try it? Because I'm pretty sure, like at least from my experience with a lot of my friends who have gone, that they really, really like that. So if you guys saw it, how'd it look?
Well, I don't think I saw it, but I think I saw it on the menu. But I'm assuming it just comes with a lot of, like, different ingredients on it. I've never had really, like, loaded fries before from anywhere, but it sounds really good. And honestly, there wasn't too many people when we went because I think it was just in the middle of the weekday. But they said that they get a lot of customers around, like, the weekend, like any other restaurant. But, yeah, I can assume, like, people would probably get that because it sounds really good.
Yeah, I also like prefer getting acne on my face, so that's like the perfect choice for me. Where is it located in Davis? Is it downtown? Do you guys know the street?
Yeah, so it's in downtown Davis. It's kind of more deeper into downtown, like towards, I don't know if you know where Pachamama is. And
kind of near Woodstock.
Yeah, like over there on that area, there's like, I think the construction is like was literally right in front of it.
Got it.
So they just cleared that out. So it was actually really nice when we went. It looked like really clean in front of the restaurant since all the construction equipment was gone. But yeah, you should definitely go there because it looks really nice right now. And I just really love the environment of the restaurant. Like, the lights are dimly lit, so it feels really cozy. And yeah, I just really love their food.
Gosh, I'd probably pass out in there. It sounds very comfortable. So off of G Street, I assume, because they just finished that construction, right?
Yeah,
that's been pretty hard for the businesses out there. So hopefully Red 88 is able to persist because, I mean, it just sounds, and I mean, imagining what it looks like, probably really good. So we, as the art and culture, highly recommend this meal. All right, that'll be it for our set for today.
And your father to your sister, he explains that you're tired of yourself and all of your creations. Won't you come see me?
Good morning, y'all. Today we're going to be Saz. We're going to be discussing some people's streaming service preferences. I'm Aiden, and today with me I have...
Hi, this is Ji Zhang.
This is Siwen.
Hi, this is Chan.
And so we'll be starting off with some interviews today, and then we're going to be discussing our own favorite streaming services as well as our favorite shows on those services. To start with, we're going to have some interviews that I did over the last couple days. Guys, today we're going to be interviewing some... today we're going to be interviewing...
My name is Tina Trin.
Yay! All right, Tina. So first off, what is your favorite streaming service?
I think at the moment it's Netflix.
Awesome. What's your favorite show on Netflix? Netflix is a pretty common answer. Mm-hmm.
I have too many, but I guess currently I'm watching Gossip Girl and I really, really like it.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Tina. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You too.
Hi, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Akshara Reddy.
Okay, so first question, what's your favorite streaming service?
I think right now Hulu.
Awesome. What about Hulu makes it your favorite streaming service? What's your favorite show on Hulu?
My favorite show on Hulu would either be Brooklyn Nine-Nine or New Girl. I think those are some of my favorite sitcoms. And I like Hulu because it's got a huge variety of shows and it's better than Netflix right now, so.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, could you tell me what your favorite streaming platform is?
Well, if I had to choose, I guess I say I watch Amazon Prime the most.
Awesome. What show on Amazon Prime would you say is your favorite?
Well, I started watching Amazon Prime for the free stuff, but then I actually started adding channels, so I guess my favorite show is on BritBox is Father Brown.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. That's all the questions I had for you. Have a nice day.
Thanks.
And so there were some interviews. Some of those were students. I also talked to some faculty. As you can see, we have a good variety of streaming services. Just within those three people, we had Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime. And also a pretty decent variety of shows. We had some people talk about sitcoms. We had some people talk about British shows, like on BritBox. My personal favorite streaming platform as a whole is probably Hulu. Like someone else said, they have a pretty good variety of shows. Though I will admit, my favorite show right now isn't actually on Hulu. It's a show called Arcane that released on Netflix. It's a pretty good show. I think I talked about it on a previous show a couple weeks ago, but yeah, the soundtrack is good. The animation is really good. The story is really good. So I think if I have to watch something, it's probably that, though that is on Netflix rather than on Hulu. Who would like to go next?
Hi, this is Zhi, and I also just have some interview with my friends and also just meet a couple of people after asking about their their favorite streaming platforms and also like what TV shows they really love and also about like kind of these TV shows about what the favorite characters and why you love them, and hope you enjoyed this interview.
So, hi, here's a question about TV series. So, what about you guys? What's your favorite streaming service?
So, Netflix is my favorite streaming platform due to its like convenience, diverse content, and like personalized recommendations. Unlike traditional TV, it let me watch like anytime, anywhere, on any device, and the option to download shows for offline viewing ads.
And what about you?
Yeah. I also like watching on Netflix.
And so about Yang, what's your favorite TV series on Netflix?
So it's the Arcane, and mainly because it's art style, plot depth, and character creation, and its animation style is like unique, combining hand painting and 3D animation, giving people a sense of art. The story is fast paced and each character has their own growth and complex background, which makes people resonate.
Okay, I think so. I really love the storyline of Arcane. And so what's your favorite character?
So my favorite is Jinx. Her personality is complex, crazy, and fragile. And her girl's experience makes people feel both distressed and regretful. The relationship between her and Vi is full of drama. From the deep sisterhood in childhood to the hostile relationship later, every detail is full of tension.
Okay.
What about you? What's your favorite TV series on Netflix?
My favorite TV show is House. It's a medical TV show. I think what I like about it is because it's a way for me to imagine living another life. Although the main theme doesn't change, each episode is like a unique story that keeps the show relatable and interesting.
Okay, thank you so much. And thank you for the interview today, and hope you have a good rest and just go home and watch the TV series on Netflix. Thank you so much. Yeah, and we also hear some answers that their favorite streaming service Netflix. So Netflix has so many audience, and also we heard one of them also loved The Story of Our King, and I also just recommend these TV shows to you guys that I really love them. So let's introduce our next interview.
Hi, this is Suwon, and so now let's listen to my interview with my friend first.
What is your favorite platform for watching TV shows?
My favorite platform for TV shows is definitely Netflix.
Why do you like using Netflix?
Well, there's a lot of new TV shows on Netflix every month that I can check out, and I just believe it's a very user-friendly platform, which makes it really easy for me to find those new shows and movies that appeal to my interests. Also, there's no ads in Netflix, which means I can watch my the contents without any interruptions, which is also a huge plus for me.
So what is your favorite show on Netflix?
Right now, my favorite show is Clickbait.
So can you describe what Clickbait is about and what is your favorite?
So Clickbait is a drama that explores the really bad side of social media culture. So it follows the story of a man who's got kidnapped and killed in an online video, who also holding a sign which says he abuses women and will die once the video reaches 5 million views. And also then afterwards it just goes in and tells the story of how social media can create excessive stress and violence that we don't want in our lives.
So for me, my favorite streaming services is also Netflix. So first of all, just like he said, it offers a huge variety of shows and movies, so I can always find something interesting to watch, no matter what mood I'm in. And another important feature for me is that Netflix provides subtitles in many languages, including Chinese and other Spanish or something. This is very helpful for those of us who are not native English speakers, as it makes understanding the content much easier and enhances our language learning experience. And one of my all-time favorite show on Netflix is How I Met Your Mother. This show is a comedy about Ted Mosby, a man telling his children the story of how he met their mother. The story unfolds through a variety of flashbacks from the future, as Ted, together with his close friends, they navigate the complexity of dating, friendships, and his professional life in New York City. I love this show. It's really relatable and heartwarming. Okay, so here's our next.
Hi, it's Chang, and I just had an interview with two of my friends about what's their favorite streaming services and what's their favorite TV show. So I'm just going to play it now.
Hi, Scooby and AL. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. I'm really interested in learning about your TV watching habits, specifically which streaming services you use and what's your favorite show are. Let's start with an easy question. So what streaming services do you use the most to watch TV shows?
For me, I mostly use the Netflix. I find it has the best variety of shows, and I really like this recommendation system.
For me, it's Amazon Prime. I enjoy the exclusive content, and they have a lot of my favorite genres.
Interesting. So what kind of shows do you typically watch on that platform?
I love watching the dramas and the crime documentaries. One of my favorites is the Better Call Saul. So because the storyline is kind of suspense and humor, I can really enjoy it in the characters.
I tend to watch sports documentaries. My favorite show right now is called All or Nothing. I like it because if it talks about my favorite team, Manchester City, and its winning season.
That sounds great. Do you think streaming services have changed the way you watch TV compared to traditional cable or other methods?
Definitely. Streaming gives me a flexibility to watch whenever I want without worrying about schedules.
I agree. I rarely watch live TV anymore because I can just binge watch an entire season in one setting if I want to.
Great. So do you guys think you will stick with your current favorite platform, or are there other streaming services you are considering trying?
I might try YouTube because I've heard good things about its original content.
I think I just keep up using Amazon Prime, but I sometimes subscribe to other temporarily just to watch one specific show.
Great, guys. So that makes sense. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with me. It's really interesting to hear how streaming services influence what and how we watch TV. I appreciate your time.
No problem.
Okay, so for me, I would just I use a lot of streaming services, and it just depends on the which TV shows comes out on the platform. And I will not subscribe for that platform for the whole year. I would just subscribe for like 1 or 2 months, and when I finish watch the TV shows I like, I would just cancel it. So I think that's all we got today here, Seth.
Yep, that'll be all for SAS today, y'all. Up next, we have Wildcard. And yeah, that'll be it for us. Have a nice day, y'all.
Back pocket, Betty Davis style. And in comes Romeo, he's moaning. You belong to me, I believe. And someone says you're in the wrong place, my friend, you'd better leave. And the only sound that's left after the ambulances go is Cinderella sweeping up on Desolation Road. Almost hidden, the stars are beginning to hide. The fortune telling lady has even taken all her things inside. Second birthday, she already is an old maid.
Welcome back. You are still listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm joined by the rest of the Wildcard crews. My name is Riley.
My name is Roji.
I'm Madeline.
And I'm Marty.
And I'm Alex.
I'm going to exciting show for you today. all centered around the vibrant Davis communities.
All right, yeah, Davis is widely known for its biking culture. It all started in the early 20th century as biking became popular in conjunction with the growing popularity of UC Davis. And in 1967, Davis became the first city in the United States to introduce official city bike lanes. And in 1969, bike paths were integrated as well, leading to a staggering 100 miles of bike lanes and paths now available for use in Davis. Davis is also home of the U.S. Bicycling Hall of Fame, cementing its deep cultural connection with biking. But how is Davis's culture changing with the integration of electrification of e-bikes and scooters? We were fortunate enough to sit down with Kevin Hine, the owner of Freewheeler Bike Center, to discuss the evolving bike culture in Davis and learn more about what makes the biking community here so unique.
More in advance than other cities. So I think it dates back to the 60s where Davis.
Sorry about that. We are restarted.
Yeah, so how does the bike culture in Davis differ from other communities that you've lived in or your past experiences?
Well, I'm a little bit of a disadvantage because I grew up here, so this okay. is pretty much what I know, but I've been involved in bikes my whole life, and I think one thing that sets Davis apart is we started the bike infrastructure much more in advance than other cities. So I think it dates back to the 60s where Davis was one of the first communities to have a dedicated bike lane, and it's just kind of snowballed and carried on. And I think it's more difficult for cities to go back and say, oh, how can we make this more friendly for biking, where we've kind of been on the forefront of that from the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. I could totally see how, you know, building the roadways and then trying to putting bike lanes in as like an afterthought could lead to complications. Like, I mean, even in my own community, like, I mean, I kind of live in a small town, so it's a little bit different, you know, but yeah, just like in San Francisco, I'm kind of close by there. There's not much separation between the bike lane and the cars, so there's a lot of, you know, bicycle and motor vehicle accidents for that reason.
But also just the population density, too. Right, and I think when you go back and try to do it, then there's some animosity between the drivers because you're taking out to their driving space or the people to park. So, yeah, it's a lot easier if you can plan in advance. Yeah. And then in terms of the culture, yeah, it just kind of builds on itself. So with the bike lanes, more people bike. Davis gets known for bikes. You know, the university is known as a bike capital. There's a group called peopleforbikes.org. You can look at their website. They are a bicycle advocacy group, and they rate cities. They have large cities, medium-sized cities, small-sized cities, and Davis is in the medium-sized category, and we're rated number one in bicycle infrastructure, and so that's a pretty good plus for Davis as well.
Or have you noticed that bike use has increased or decreased recently? Like, do you think cars have kind of impacted this, or do you think bike culture is still just as prevalent as it's kind of always been?
I think it's about the same. I don't know if there's been a decrease per se. I know it's more younger students riding the bus than they used to. I noticed yeah. more people on electric scooters kind of in spaces and sometimes doing things they yeah. shouldn't be doing.
That's whatever. Yeah, so have you noticed an increase in the electrification of bicycles and scooters in Davis and kind of how that has changed bike culture and, you know, transportation?
Yeah, definitely some increase in electric assist and bicycle usage. You mentioned earlier it is very flat around here, so it's not as necessary as some areas, in yeah. my opinion. I think for the most part, the electric assist bikes get along pretty well with regular bikers. There are some throttle systems, and actually there's a new California law January 1st. I think some of these things people are riding became illegal on January 1st. If your electric vehicle goes up over 20 miles an hour in a lot.
All right, again, that was Kevin Hine, owner of Freewheeler Bike Center on the corner of 2nd and F Street in downtown Davis. Go check them out. They're really helpful. Thank you so much for that. All right, let's talk about e-bikes real quick. I've definitely noticed an increase in e-bike usage here in Davis over my 4 years here. And I think what was interesting, what Kevin referenced, was the laws regarding e-bikes, specifically use of a throttle on an e-bike. What do you think about that, Marty?
Yeah, I mean, I think just having e-bikes in the mix with regular pedal bikes can lead to a number of issues. I mean, multiple times I've been passed by people on e-bikes just going extremely fast, and Davis is known for having roundabouts for the bicycles just to increase the efficiency of the transportation. So they just come barreling into the roundabouts, and it really is, like, you know, a real issue because so many people have been hit. I mean, I know people have been hit by scooters and e-bikes. And so I'm kind of happy that this, you know, new law is being passed. But also still keeping with the electrification for the people that are, like, actually needed to help them, because for any number of reasons, right?
Yeah, like you said, there's definitely a place for electrification in bikes. But I'm not sure if a lot of people in Davis really need it, especially because how bike-friendly Davis is.
Yeah, the whole city is pretty flat.
Exactly. If this was more like a hilly environment with a lot of steep slopes, I think electrification would be great to have, especially in cities, maybe like San Francisco, actually.
Or if you go to, like, Cal Poly SLO, that's a very hilly college, or Santa Barbara, there's a lot of hills you got to climb. So it is nice to have, you know, either a scooter or some electric-assisted bicycle. But here in Davis, it's really just a convenience to get you from A to B faster. But yeah, let's talk about the spin scooters, because we see those all over the place.
Spin scooters, yeah, spin bikes, yeah.
Just crowding the sidewalks, even the roads. Yeah.
I know. I've never used them before, so I don't know exactly how they're managed. I'm guessing it's through an app, but I'm not sure. And yeah, you see them on the streets, on the ground. You see them on sidewalks, which is problematic for people who want to walk on the sidewalks, of course.
Well, people also ride them on the sidewalks because, I don't know, for any number, maybe they just don't know or don't understand, like, the common courtesy or where you're supposed to ride them. But that's something I've definitely noticed. I'm sure people in this community have, too.
There's definitely a lot of, like, safety concerns with renting out electric bikes and scooters that have probably pretty high top speeds without requiring helmets or any other safety equipment. Mm-hmm. And it's just surprising that they can get away with that. But I see the business model for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll start to see more electrification in here in Davis, more than we already have seen?
Yeah, I mean, naturally, I think it'll just keep growing alongside, you know, electric vehicles and stuff. Even though that's, you know, David, like I said, Davis is pretty flat. You don't necessarily need an e-bike. It's more just the convenience thing. And honestly, I kind of like riding my bicycle. Like, it's kind of a way for me to get, like, a little cardio in, you know, either in the morning or just kind of throughout the day riding from class.
Yeah, I feel like Davis is an exception because of how big the bike culture is here. I think people want to ride bikes. They're not riding bikes. I mean, they are riding bikes for convenience, but also riding bikes because it's enjoyable and because the city offers such an enjoyable and easy-to-use, user-friendly environment for the bikes.
Well, especially since the city was built around the, you know, the cycling or you know, built around, so it's easier to use bicycles and any other modes of transportation related to that, like skateboarding or, I mean, I've seen people rollerblading. Like, there's all different kinds of ways to get around Davis that are pretty accessible.
Do you think in the future as electrification becomes cheaper, that we'll see bikes, traditional bikes, become not the norm anymore, and people just only riding electrified vehicles.
I mean, I could see that definitely becoming a thing. I don't think it'll ever go away. Kind of like, you know, we think about EVs and combustion engine vehicles. There's always going to be a place for, you know, just your standard pedal bicycles as well for, you know, combustion engines. But that's another topic.
Yeah. Do you have an experience or your first experience riding bikes here in Davis that you can recall?
Yeah. I mean, my first time, my first day biking to class, it was a little overwhelming, partially because I was still learning how to get to class in the most efficient ways. But, you know, it was pretty simple. There's just a couple routes that'll get you wherever you need to go. So, like, I learned the campus easily within, you know, 3 to 5 days. But a lot of people, at least from what I've seen and the people I've talked to, learned how to ride a bike at Davis, which, you know, that's pretty bold. That takes a lot of confidence, just because, you know, I'm very fortunate. I learned how to ride a bike at a very young age, so it's just second nature to me, having the balance and just kind of understanding of, like, the, you know, using hand signals. Not a lot of people use hand signals when they're turning, so that can also lead to accidents on campus, and just on the road in general. So, Alex, what do you think about the bike traffic at Davis? Is that an issue?
It's definitely an issue. It's very, especially like at certain times of the day, it's really bad. Like, mm-hmm. if you're going to a class in the afternoon or early morning, it gets very, very congested and actually very dangerous. I've seen many people get into accidents. Many people are unaware of how to use the roundabouts, I found. Or they'll just throw themselves into the roundabout with no care and not looking left or right, or, you know, waiting for pedestrians to cross. So I find that we have a great bike culture here in Davis, but maybe we're not educated. Some of us aren't educated.
Yeah, for
sure.
To
use these fine roads.
I mean, I think just like giving a, like pointing with your hand which direction you're going, like in a roundabout, because so many times, you know, somebody enters the roundabout, so they have the right of way, and then I'm entering in, and then I'm kind of waiting for a hand signal for where they're going so I can either go around or speed up. But
yeah. All right.
All right, and that wraps up our sprinting segment for today. We will be here next Thursday at 10 a.m. for the next 5 weeks, so please make sure to tune in. My name is Zerilis, and half of myself and the wraps of the career here at KDRT. Thank you very much, and we will see you next week.